Yo, 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 Thought Warriors. What is up? Higher Learning is on. It's I, Van Lathan.
And it's me, Rachel Lindsay.
Rachel.
Van. What's going on?
Inappropriate jokes you were telling at the beginning before we started the podcast.
Y'all already know. If this is how he's calling me out, y'all know it wasn't me.
I'm not starting off the podcast this way. All the people out there who are looking to cancel, both me and Rachel, we're both on the cancel.
Right? They are after you, Van.
They're coming at me. They're coming at me. Rachel would have given you more than enough ammunition for some of the disgusting things that she said before the podcast. Rachel,
do you still like being a part of Bachelor Nation now that, you know, some people, you're seeing the other side of it?
Yes, I do. Okay. And I like it because I gotta be honest with you, most of the people in Bachelor Nation are absolutely delightful and lovely.
They are.
You know, they are. They are so nice. You know, there are people hitting me up and Van this, and they're so supportive. And you guys, the world is a great, big, gigantic place. And although we talk all about the things that are bothering us, it's because that's how we're wired as human beings.
That's correct.
It's a pro-evolutionary trait to shout when you see danger. That doesn't mean you can't look at the sun too. So I am choosing to look at Bachelor Nation for what it is, which is a great big community of nice, beautiful people and some of the most aggressive, determined to ruin you people that I've ever seen in any fan base. But I'm looking at it that way. How was your weekend, Rach? How was your weekend?
My weekend was productive. Now, ooh, I went hiking for the first time ever in LA. Do you hike? I know you like to work out. Do you run? Do you go hiking on the trails?
Sometimes. I'm afraid of hiking.
Because?
I'm afraid of mountain lion.
Is it that common? Because we were joking that could happen, but now that can happen?
Where did you go hiking at?
Paseo Miramar Trailhead in the Palisades.
Less likely there.
Okay, so later tell me where I need to avoid, because where I was beautiful. I could see the ocean. Mm-hmm. I was in the hills, went early in the morning. I needed that just to start off my weekend the right way. It fed my soul. It was beautiful. Now, as I sit here with you today, I can't walk on my left foot.
Mm-hmm.
I developed maybe a stress fracture. I cannot walk on the outside of my foot at all.
You developed a stress fracture. You probably got plantar fascia.
I don't think that I have that. You don't think that in the arc of your foot?
The arc. Interesting.
What did I say?
You said arc. You said arc. It's okay.
Arch? Arch.
Some people would say arch. It's fine. I don't know why. So you think you developed a stress fracture from one hiking expedition?
I walked like over 7 miles. Maybe I had the wrong shoes. Over seven.
Up hilly terrain. That's pretty tough.
And I didn't. And I haven't done that ever. Well, in a really long time. Yeah. So I can't walk now. It's killing me.
Any swelling?
It's a shooting pain. A little bit last night, but it's a shooting pain up into my ankle and a little bit into my shins. And we all know that shin splints are what ended my Olympic track career. So you know
shin splints.
Did you say
I'm not. That's all I said. All I said was shin splints.
I'll have you know.
Tell me.
I was out there with the best of them.
You're out there
summer
with the
track
best of them.
Starting at age 6, pre-Bantam, Bantam. I don't want to say the M word anymore, but that's what they called it. Juniors.
The N word? What
M? M. So
what,
like you, in summer track, you were classified. It was pre-Bantam, Bantam by your age group, and then the M word.
What's the M word?
Midget.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's what they call
it. You shouldn't have said it. I don't know why you said it.
They don't ask me.
I didn't know what it was. So then you ran all that.
I was junior Olympics, all that. 100 to 200 to a quarter horse. And then, you know, shin splints ruined my career.
I'm missing the part where you could have gone to the Olympics. That's the part I want to hear.
Well, it stopped in high school due to shin splints. I was going to junior Olympics. I was qualifying.
Right. So you lied. Okay? You lied. You just
I was on the track. Okay,
here's the deal.
An Olympian.
Imagine I told you that a knee injury messed up my shot at the NBA. And then you
Were you on track?
How do you know? I played Brett ball. I played high school varsity.
I said junior Olympics. You have to qualify for that. Yeah, you have to qualify.
You know, do you know how many people I know that ran in the Junior Olympics? Like, almost
all... Did
they
place?
Yeah, you know how many people I know? Seriously. You know how many people I know that went to the Junior Olympics?
So like, they couldn't be on the path to the Olympics?
Do you know how many people I know who went to the regular Olympics? Ziklo, baby!
Oh, I know people that went to the Olympics.
Yeah,
why? Because I was on track.
Yeah, you went to people. You know people that went because you went to Texas, and you know Kevin Durant. That's why you know people that went to the Olympics.
No, I'm talking track, not basketball.
Yeah, sure.
Stop. I finished. You know somebody from the Olympics. I feel like a lot of runners come out of Louisiana.
No, I actually don't know any because LSU has plenty of them.
I feel like this is a first on the show. The first time you said you did not know someone.
I don't know anybody. Know any Olympians besides basketball players my co-host from Central Ave.
Sonya. Sonya and I went to school together.
Yeah. My co-host from Central Ave, Sonya Richards Ross. She's she's an Olympian. But that's like the only
She
Olympian
was on my list.
She was on your list. Yeah, but let me quit. So what's the highest level of track that you ran?
I stopped in high school.
See what I'm saying?
I was on track. And I fell in love with basketball, so.
Love with basketball. Look, did you bring a stick?
No.
Why you didn't bring a stick? You brought no stick. You just hiked.
I was going to run. I was ready to run. Nobody had a stick.
Here, mountain lion, eat me, is what you're saying.
Nobody had a stick that was there.
You saw no sticks. Nobody had one of
I saw walking sticks.
Right. That's not walking sticks. That's not what those are. Those
no,
are
no, no. These
sticks.
Were the ones that you like plant down. You know what I mean? These were walking sticks.
Those
like
are
Phil mountain. From Modern Family has. They were like those.
Those are mountain lion sticks.
Okay, man.
I'm telling
you. What'd you do this weekend? What'd you do this weekend?
I rode a lot. Okay. I rode a whole lot.
Like in the car?
Wrote.
Oh,
I
heard rode. Okay.
No, I wrote. Not too much. Wasn't really much going on for me today. I stayed in Saturday. I stayed in yesterday.
You were productive.
I did. I wrote the entire week. I was productive. I cleaned up the office a little bit. You know, Bozeman escaped the house.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Is Bozeman still with us?
Bozeman's still with us. Bozeman, because the little area outside is fenced in. All of a sudden, people are chilling in the living room, and it's like somebody knocks on the sliding glass door to get in, and it's Bozeman. It's like, and I'm looking at his Boz. I'm like, yo, what's popping with you? He's like, yo, man. He was freaking out. He's like, let me in. I had left the sliding glass door in the back cracked, and Bozeman had got out there. He was back there exploring.
Aww.
But like a real G, he came home. It's my guy. He's 60 pounds.
Wow. How big? 100? He's going to get 100?
Yeah, he's 5 months old, 60 pounds. Bo's
well,
is doing
he's outgrown
thing.
Copper at this point.
Copper? How much does Copper weigh?
Between 45, 50.
45, damn. I'm not going to lie.
He's all hair.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
All here. So you didn't do anything. Rachel, can I ask you a question?
Either way.
Have you put a date on when it is that you are coming back to the old Instagram? I'm not gonna lie. I miss, you know, seeing you sell the latest products on your Instagram and stuff like that. Have you thought about when you're gonna come back?
Van, I came back on Saturday.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You know what? I came back on Saturday.
Wow.
Keep this in here. Keep this in.
That was sincere. I didn't see
but you
any
know what?
Posts.
You know what? You
Did
were
you
focused
post?
Writing. Yes, you were focused on writing. We'll
I didn't
give
see
you that.
This.
I did. I put up that I was hiking, that I was back. I put up a picture of just like sunflowers with a quote. Mm-hmm. Baby steps. I didn't really want to put my face. Yeah, I'm back. I barely get on it, but I'm back. I only posted once. You're fine.
So
yeah.
how many paid sponsorship posts are you backed up? You gotta probably.
Well,
you know
I had to come back because they're knocking at my door.
Yeah.
I got
they
a
are.
Couple. I got one that'll drop this week.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, we're glad to have you back. It seems like you're feeling better. Your spirits are up.
I do. I feel better. Taking a week off, the hike, just talking to people who know me, who get me. Remember what Angela Rye said? You got to have that strong group of people. Mm-hmm. Don't judge you, who know you outside of the persona and all of that. Yeah, I feel good. I feel. Even my friends are like, it's nice to have you back. Mm. And I say, it's good to be back.
It is good to be back. It's good to have you back, even though I didn't know you were back. But we got to get to it now. We got to get to it, guys. Look, I will say this last thing before we start. Beware. Don't let Rachel play it down. Beware of Mountain Lion. Okay? This is my thing. And I don't want to get off this, right? When I hike, I have this stick that I've sharpened a point at the end.
Okay? You have a spear.
I have a spear. Because this stick I found in Griffith Park, like the lower part of Griffith Park, is like a long stick. It's got the bark at the end of it. And when I came home one day, I sharpened the end of the stick to a point, right? Because this is how my anxiety manifests itself. It's like, I know that the probability of getting attacked by mountain lion is very low.
Okay.
Right? But it could happen. And I think what my brain doesn't let me detach from, I'm getting scared just thinking about it right now, is the moment that I'm trudging along, listening to Drake. Let's say I'm listening to like a slow Drake song. It's like Trust Issues. You know what I mean? It's like one that's like you vibe with it. It takes you back. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Call up, I'm drinking. Let's. And you just starting it. All I care about is money and the sea. And then all of a sudden, you're getting into it. You're thinking about that girl, freshman year of college. You know what I mean? She could have been the one. You would have trusted her to mix up your drink. I'm on one. And then all shit, you look over. Oh, my God. There's Mountain Lion. And you see him, probably her. You see her. And all of a sudden, right now, my heart is beating out of my chest and thinking about this because I see the fangs of the mountain lion. Like I see the mountain lion. And you don't have no stick. You don't have no gun. Now, you're relying on the mood of Mountain Lion not to kill you. I don't want to be in that position.
Let me tell you something. Sometimes it's great to be ignorant because I had no idea that mountain lions would even be on the trail. Whether they are, they aren't, I don't know. I enjoyed hiking. I was like, oh, I'm going to do this again. Now you've put the fear of God in me where I was not even expecting to see a mountain lion. So I'm just hiking along, getting my exercise, getting my vitamin D. Mm-hmm. Not even realizing that I was in danger. And now you've scared me. And I don't even know if I can hike in the same way that I was before because I was just ignorant.
Okay. I'm on wildlife.ca.gov.
No, stop, please.
These are verified mountain lion human attacks. Okay.
What?
Yeah, these are verified mountain lion human attacks. There were two in 86. 86 was a bad year. There was one in 92, 93, 94, two in 94. 3 in 94, 95. Here's the thing. After 95, Mountain Lion took a decade off. They was chilling. They was like, you know what? The reality is OJ trial, whole situation, the city's been through enough. We're not going to attack. Like, we're not going to attack for a while. Not another mountain lion attack until January 2004. And 2004 was a hot year. Mountain lion attack in 2004, three times. Then 2007, then 2012, 2014. And last year, in California, there were three mountain lion attacks. January, February, and June.
LA or California?
Orange County, Santa Clara County, San Diego County. There hasn't been a mountain lion attack in LA County since 1995.
Okay. All right.
That don't mean shit. I'm just saying. And remember when you're doing this. Remember, don't blame Mountain Lion. Don't blame him or her. Blame yourself. Because you are in their territory.
Not if I'm on the trail, I'm not.
What you mean not if you're on the trail?
The trail is for people. It's not like I venture off into the wild.
Wait, the trail is for people, says who? Like, the trail is a trail through Mountain Lion's living room.
I'm just trying to make it. All right. I will. Thank you, man. I will never go hiking again.
Yeah, whatever. I'm just saying, bring a stick or something. Because it'd be so crazy to get that call from you. Van.
You might not get a call from me. That might be it.
No, it'd be Van. I'm in a tree. I'm in a tree at Griffith Park. Seriously. See me? I'm flashing the light. Come help me. Mountain Lion. All right.
I feel like you would live for that moment. You throw that stick in the car, load up three or four guns, and be like, I'm ready.
Hell yeah. But I don't want to kill him, though. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I don't want to kill him. Like, even when I brought the gun, it's just to scare him. Because
like, he knows what the gun is.
The loud sound will scare him.
Oh, you're just going to shoot up. I got you.
Or I'll pop him. Or I'll pop right next to him. Bow, bow. Get off me. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not his fault. It's not fair. That's why they just pissed me off about Harambe. Remember Harambe?
Of course I do.
And they killed Harambe. Do you remember that? It's not Harambe's fault.
Okay. We have one in Dallas. So that's why I was...
A kid fell in the Harambe thing, right?
Yeah.
And they killed Harambe. How about they let Harambe live in fucking Africa? You know what I mean? All right. Out of the wilderness, now into the wild shit. Did you watch this last night? Prince Harry and Meghan Markle with Oprah Winfrey?
Nope.
Wait, what?
I did not.
Why?
Purposely.
Why didn't you watch it?
I knew everybody was going to watch it. I knew I could get the cliff notes of it. And I guess it's like, nothing that I watched was going to surprise me. I guess that's just kind of how I felt. Like, I'm not in shock by the bombshell revelations that we heard about the royals and how they treated Harry and Meghan. For me, it's like the more things change, the more they stay the same. If anything, I just wanted to watch Oprah interview them. But I wasn't on the edge of my seat. There were watch parties. You know, people have been talking about this for weeks since it's been promoted. Not me. I was watching Grey's Anatomy.
Interesting. I did watch it. Do you know basically some of the things that were revealed in the interview? Let's go through some of the things that were revealed. Number one, they claim that, and I have no reason not to believe this, that Archie, the little baby that was concerned in the royal family about how dark his skin would be. Yeah. And Archie was not going to get security and he was not ever going to be a prince, something like mm-hmm. that. Meghan mm-hmm. Markle also opened up to Oprah about her mental health issues and how dealing with the pressure of being in the royal family made her contemplate suicide. Harry talked about his strained brother, his strained relationship with his brother, William, who he looks nothing like. And whatever. We all know that that's not that boy's son. Whatever.
That's not that man's son.
How about that? I seen the other dude. Look exactly like him. That's not that man's son. Whatever.
Another time. Let's not jump on Harry right now.
I'm not jumping on. It has nothing to do with Harry. It has nothing to do with anyone. Nothing to do with nobody. That dude ain't his daddy. Okay?
Okay.
That's his brother. But that dude ain't his daddy. Okay, which I done been through this before. I done seen this. And basically, what they said was that they basically got put in the colored section of Buckingham Palace.
Buckingham Palace created a colored section.
Exactly. That they made it seem like there was an incredible sense of intolerance throughout the structure and the fabric of the royal family. They made it. I watched this interview, and in all seriousness, for the first time, I felt bad for a duchess. Like a woman who's married to royalty, it goes to show you just how dehumanizing racism and, you know, discrimination can be. It doesn't matter who you are or what heights you've reached or where you've been or where you've gone. It can always make you feel like less than a human person. And I really got that from her watching this interview.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter your status, the wealth, the complexion of your skin, if you're Black. At the end of the day, it's that one drop rule where you're Black. So to me, it's like, that's why I say I didn't watch it, because I feel really bad for Meghan, and I always have. And I think about, how many years ago did they get married? Three years ago they married. And I just remember the narrative. And I'm not one of those people who's into like the royal family or watches The Crown. I'm not fascinated by it. But people were so excited for Harry and Meghan to get married. And the narrative was, oh my gosh, Black women are getting chosen. And, you know, it's a fairy tale for Black women and they're getting seen. And, you know, everyone was like, oh, the royal family is so supportive of Meghan and they love her. And they're inserting, you know, Black culture into the wedding with the choir and all of that and people who were speaking. And I even remember reading something about the Queen showing Meghan something about someone in the family who had African ancestry, like way back in the day.
Samuel Jackson. Samuel Jackson is related to the royals. That's what the Queen brought up.
Okay. Did not know that.
True story. That's
not the story I heard. But okay. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. Samuel Jackson. Oh. So like, but that, you didn't hear that. That was a big deal when that happened.
Shout out to Zoe. Zoe on the pod.
Wait a second. You never heard that? That Samuel Jackson is a member?
And now I'm going to call Zoe as soon as this is over.
Who is Zoe?
His daughter.
Oh, you know his daughter?
Yeah, she was actually a producer on The Bachelor for my season.
Oh wow, yeah, Samuel Jackson, yeah, he's a member. Like they found it. Are you fucking with me? They found this out.
I swear to God, I did not know that. I did not know that. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, listen, all of that, people were praising it. It was like they were choosing to ignore the history surrounding the royals, what the royal family was built on, as if it all went away just because Harry was marrying a woman of color, a black woman. And I guess I just was like, now that it's all coming to light from the beginning, and I think she talked about this in the interview, how they had issues even leading up to the actual wedding. So it was a facade. Now we're learning about the nightmare that was. But I just find it interesting how 3 years ago people were choosing to ignore that as if things were suddenly changing with the royal family just because they were finally getting someone Black. I never believed it. Just because of the deep-rooted history that surrounds the royal family and white supremacy and colonization. They don't have any Black people around them. You know what I mean? Like, and all of a sudden they're supposed to change just because Meghan is a part of this. I think the most troubling thing that I saw from the interview is when Oprah asked, do you have any regrets? And Harry said no. And she said yes, that she trusted the royal family to protect her. And I think maybe I'm thinking of my own story in Bachelor Nation, but you know, that's why I say the more things change, the more they stay the same. She felt like she would be protected because, why are you smiling? There you smell.
All of a sudden, now you're the princess of Bachelor
Nation. No, I'm not the princess. But I'm just saying, like,
I think when you're the first black Bachelor.
Well, no, when you're the first, right, when you're the first. No, I'm not comparing myself in any way to Megan. What I've dealt with is so small compared to what she dealt with. She dealt with the whole country hating on her.
It's just funny. I wouldn't say that.
No, she dealt with the whole country hating on her, misunderstanding her. You know, she was never given the benefit of the doubt. We've talked about that. People believe, like, perceived her to be a certain way because of stereotypes they had against black people. I mean, some of the headlines are, it's crazy. They were caught saying Straight Out of Compton, using monkey references, whether it was to her or her child, her unborn child at the time. And so I don't know. I guess a part of me just didn't want to see that. Maybe I'm still in my own feelings over what's happened over the last couple of weeks.
But no, I get it.
I just feel so bad for Megan, and I just have to applaud her for recognizing what was wrong. Taking care of herself no matter what, like realizing she wasn't in a good state. She said, I have to protect myself and my family. And then she had Harry supporting her along the way. And they both made the decision to leave together, which I know wasn't an easy decision, but they did it for themselves. They protected their family. And I love that she was strong enough to be able to do that. And then strong enough to speak, like, her, to tell her side of the story to Oprah, but then classy enough to not call people out in the process. I would have been calling out everybody. Oh, let me tell you who said they were concerned about the color of my baby's unborn child's skin. Let me tell you who made up these lies. Let me tell you who didn't protect me. Let me tell you who.
Yeah, but you can't do that because that's his family. Why? That's his family. Why? That's his family.
Yeah, but she's his family at this point. She's
I know, but you wouldn't expect, like, you wouldn't come on if you were at Brian's house or something like that, and y'all down in he's from Columbia,
he's
right?
He's in Miami. His parents are from Columbia.
He's from Columbia. But if you're down there in Miami, right, you're at Brian's house, and one of his family members or something says something to you, you're not gonna come on the podcast and then tell everybody their name. And you're not going to say, Brian's mother called me this.
See, did they say one thing to me? Or has it been years of abuse, years of you not protecting me, not even providing security to my child, a child who is of royal blood? Is it years and years of this type of behavior where I'm like, why in the world would I do you the service of protecting you when you have done none of that for me? And it goes back to, she had to, like, I understand why she didn't call them out, because she can't. Again, she has to be damn near perfect as she is presenting herself and airing out this information and telling her side of the story. She couldn't be too one way and not too the other way. She had to walk the straight line in doing it, which is unfair. But why should she do that for them when they couldn't do that for her?
She didn't call them out because that's his grandmother, his father, his brother.
But look how,
grandfather.
Did they treat him like a son, like a grandson?
No.
Like a brother?
But here's the thing that we have to understand. By the way, I think I would have liked for them to have called him out, and Oprah would have liked for it too, because Oprah was going for it. Oprah is a master, man. Oprah is like a Jedi at this interview game. God, I want that skill. But yeah, like, the reality is that when you watch a family drama, people always concentrate on the drama and not the family. The reality is, for Prince Harry, he got memories with these people that don't have anything to do with the press. He remembers playing and running with people. He remembers being picked up. He remembers when his mother died and who was there and the conversations that were had. So all of this stuff is painful in one way for her and then painful in one way for him.
Sure.
And so there are all kinds of, for them to even to get to this point to where they're talking about any of this stuff and putting his people on blast, things had to be exceedingly terrible, exceedingly terrible, to get on there and talk all of this type of shit about your people. I think the reason why names weren't called is because in his heart of hearts, maybe not hers, but in his heart of hearts, he wants to be back in the family photo again. not for anything that has to do with any royal duties, but I think that he probably wants to love his dad and his brother and his grandmother and his granddaddy. You know what I mean?
Of course. He wants to be back, and he wants them to accept who he loves, but they don't. And I'm sure it's been very hard for Harry to realize that the family you thought was one way is totally different when blackness hits too close to home.
The black will always bring it out. Look, here's the thing about the royal family.
That's so true.
The black will always bring it out. My dad said that one time. Like, I was telling my dad how much I liked my algebra teacher and what a nice guy he was. The guy was white. And my dad was like, he's nice? I'm like, yeah, yeah. My dad was like, stop fucking his daughter. See how he treats you then. I was like, damn. I'm in the sixth grade.
Your dad.
I'm like, what? I'm in the sixth grade. What? He's like, yeah, he didn't want me to let my guard down. I'm like, yo, I'm 11. I'm like, what are you talking about? Relax. I like Mr. Hopkins. He's nice. He plays the Grateful Dead.
Your dad just puts things in perspective.
My dad was like,
I'm like,
yo, man, can I get extra points? But no, this whole thing is deeply rooted. We go to Anguilla all the time, right? We go to Anguilla, we hang out. It's a beautiful island. Shout out to Anguilla. We hope to go back when everything opens up. It's, you know, it's a British colony.
Never been. Everybody's not able.
People, you can go to Anguilla. I know where you've been, so to get out of here. But what I'm saying is that, you know, colonialism and imperialism, especially from the UK, they influence world culture. You know, we're speaking English right now, a language mm-hmm. that's not very elegant, you know, but there are much more beautiful, much more expressive languages that have seven different words for love, you know, but we're speaking the easiest and simplest language to understand. And also the language of the country that sort of predates the genetic DNA of our country. But a lot of the things that exist there and have existed there for a long time have never been reconciled. The Queen has never addressed the history mm-hmm. of inequality and slavery and racism that surrounds the crown. She's never addressed that. Prince Charles has talked about it, but it's never come from the monarch, right? From the Queen. So the fact that this history hasn't been reconciled, along with the fact that if you're to believe Meghan, which there's no reason not to, that it's still going on, that these ideas have lasted, right? And then when you also have a situation to where it's like $67 or $70 million or something like that, euros or something like that, that taxpayers actually pay for the mm-hmm. royals who have a $13 billion fortune, you know, you just wonder if all of this has to do. Like, even royalty itself, that type of royalty, right? That type of royalty is based around the fact that, like, you're born and you're just better than somebody else.
Yeah.
You're just better than someone else. You're high born. You're better than someone else, you know? And that, the idea of royalty has almost been co-opted a little bit by Europe because there are princesses everywhere. If people want princesses, like, if you want a black princess, you didn't have to run to the UK for one. There are black princesses all throughout Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least there
mm-hmm.
were.
Mm-hmm.
There's royalty True. Everywhere. Like, their royalty isn't any shinier than anywhere else. So I guess for me, and I just said a whole bunch, I guess for me, if the royals had changed, if there had been progress in the last 30 or 40 or 50 years, it's almost worth saying, hey, everything that surrounds British imperialism and colonialism doesn't matter anymore. But since there hasn't, since it's obvious that there's still deep-seated racism, because these people are old, you know, the Queen and her husband have been around for a long time. Since it's obvious that there's deep-seated racism there, and has been deep-seated racism there for a while, then the question I have to ask all of us is, why do we still bothered to give a fuck about these people.
I don't think we did until Megan came into the family.
I don't know that that's the case. Because
you
if
think
you don't,
people cared before?
If you don't give a fuck about someone, remember, this is different than saying we don't give a fuck about what's going on in Washington. I don't care about politics. Well, you have to care.
Mm-hmm.
You have to care. The royals are a family of do-nothing white people that are across the pond that don't have anything to do with what goes on here. And now we know that they're actually doing harm. So my question is, why do we give a fuck about what's going on with them in the first place? Like, why did I watch last night?
I don't think we do. I mean, prior to Meghan and Harry dating, I don't think people really cared about what the royals were doing. If anything, we were wondering, where is Prince Harry partying in the States this weekend? Like, that's what people would see. Mm-hmm. Nobody really cared. I mean, I guess when Kate and William got married, people wanted to see. They wanted to see the wedding. But as far as like, and when you say people, are you talking about Americans? Are you talking about Black folks?
I'm talking about.
Talking about Black folks at first. Like, we didn't care until Meghan.
I'm not being my best, most concise self here. What I'm trying to say is there's a link here between the way we care about stuff like that and a slight way that whiteness is worshipped. The only thing the royals have ever done is be born. That's
correct.
It. That's the only thing they've ever done is be born. But there's some sort of mystique and air around them just because of bloodlines that really have probably done more world harm than good. And watching it last night just reminded me of that. It wasn't something that I didn't know, but I thought that it was something that I didn't have to care about because they don't have any real place in the world. But like watching that last night was like, oh, well, everything that they're built on, it does matter because it's still fucking with people. And it's fucking with this Black lady right here who was thinking about taking her own beautiful life because she can't breathe in a situation that she thought she was going to be loved in. And I fundamentally look at them differently.
I mean, you know, now they're resurfacing interviews of Princess Diana, the one that she did with Martin Bashir, and where she talks about being an outsider and the way that they treated her. And she looked like them, but she was an outsider. And she talked about being looked at as a threat. Yeah. And she talked about, because she was looked at as a threat, it's because they didn't understand her because she was strong and they wanted to know, where did it come from? How did she get it? What is she going to do with it? Just imagine that's how they were treating Princess Diana. Now you add Meghan to the mix and she's Black. And she came in with her own status, with her own money. You know, she didn't necessarily need it. She wasn't born into it. She worked for it. They didn't understand Meghan, so they tried to place her into a box, how they stereotype all Black people. And that's what we're seeing happen through the tabloids, through the way the royal family's treating her, and the way that they criticize her even after this interview.
Mm. Yeah. Did you watch... I'm off that now.
Can I do breaking news?
Yeah, can you...
Breaking news. As we sit here, breaking news in the sports world. The Cowboys have announced they have reached an agreement and a contract with Dak Prescott. The length and terms will not be disclosed until Wednesday, but Dallas Cowboy fans, we got a quarterback.
Can I guess on what the length and terms will be? You want to hear my guess?
Go ahead.
I think that he probably signed a 15-year contract worth
$10
million.
15 years? Stop.
15-year contract. $10 million, $1.1 million guaranteed.
Adam Schefter is saying, so you're wrong. Wrong. Stop. Don't do Dallas Cowboys like that. Dak Prescott is rumored to have signed a four-year, $160 million deal, including a record $126 million guaranteed.
Good for him.
Exactly. So no Russell Wilson. Cross that off the list. He ain't coming to Dallas.
You're acting as if Dallas wouldn't kill to have Russell Wilson.
I didn't say they wouldn't kill, but the fact that they're signing Dak, they're not going to sign Russell. I don't have enough cap space for that.
They're not going to. What? They're not going to carry two number one quarterbacks, of course.
Listen, yeah. I wouldn't put it past them to carry
They're not going to carry one. Which one is? Shut up, Rachel. But good for Dak Prescott. I feel like he certainly played his way into that contract. I don't know if Dak Prescott is a Super Bowl caliber quarterback. We didn't ask.
We're not going to do this right now, okay? The fact that Dak has been waiting for over a year for this deal.
He played himself into
it. The fact that he got this deal, right?
He
saw the injury. Mm-hmm. He had a hard 2020. We all did, but he had a hard 2020. The fact that this is happening, I'm not going to let you now tarnish his image by saying you don't think he's Super Bowl quarterback. That's for another day. Right now, we're celebrating Dak Prescott. Congratulations, Dak.
Congratulations, Dak. Let's take a break.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else. This episode is brought to you by NetSuite by Oracle. The less your business spends, the more margin of money you have. I think that's pretty obvious for everyone, but actually doing it, that's easier said than done because the cost of everything is going up these days. So do the smart thing. Switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth so you can easily reduce costs and headaches. NetSuite specifically helps by reducing IT costs since it lives in the cloud with no hardware required and cutting the costs of maintaining multiple systems since everything you need is on one suite. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. See for yourself how effective NetSuite can be and try it out today. And by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/ringer. That is netsuite.com/ringer.
All right. Did you watch the NBA All-Star game yesterday? Did you watch it?
I did not. There was a lot on yesterday, right? The game, the interview,
the Critics' Choice Awards, as if that's on the same level. But
I'm just naming things.
Yeah, I didn't
Real
watch
Housewives
it.
Of Atlanta. It's a big night.
I didn't watch it at all. Apparently, there was some excitement, not in the dunk contest, but Steph Curry won the three-point contest. Shout out to Steph. I felt completely bad about watching the All-Star game this year.
Because why? It shouldn't have been happening?
And I just felt it was so irresponsible to have had an All-Star game this year. So terrible. So disappointed in the guys up in New York in the NBA. Look, I understand it. The league has to make money. The All-Star game is a big money maker. They certainly want to try to get back on track from the pandemic shutdowns and things like that. But there's just a lot of people who ran out to Atlanta. And those Atlanta clubs look packed on those.
Before you get to that, you talk about the people in New York not making the decision to not have an All-Star game. But were you expecting more from the players to not participate in it? Right? Because they could have been voted on the roster, still got whatever bonuses in their contract, the fact that they made it without playing in it. Did you expect more from them?
Interesting. I don't know that I can expect that much for them. At the end of the day, they're employees. And I'm not sure what contractually sort of goes on and what happens to that. I'm not sure what's in the collective bargaining agreement as it relates to the All-Star game itself. I don't know if you have to do it. I would imagine that you don't.
Yeah.
But just in terms of having a working relationship with your employer, I would imagine that for those guys, if there's an All-Star game and they're voted, that they're probably going to play. I know that some of them had been pretty vocal about thinking that it was stupid, but I think that they're probably going to play. But I just thought it was a terrible move by the league.
Absolutely.
And when you look at what was going on in and around Atlanta during that time, it's just, you know, it's, we say this all the time, the chances are there's a high probability that somebody's going to get sick and die because the NBA decided to have an All-Star game. And I just don't think that that's worth it. Now, I know that there's personal responsibility and people have to be personally responsible. If you go out to a club with 3,000 people in it and it's wall to wall and it's packed, and so, and I pray that nobody gets sick. That's not something that I would want to happen. But part of that is a responsibility you have to take onto yourself. But I don't know, man. It seems like this was the year to say, hey, no, not doing it.
Yeah, it would have been fine. Or at least have the game. Don't allow fans. Don't have all the... Well, they would have had the festivities anyway. But did the NBA make any type of statement? Did the league make a statement as to why they were doing it? Because honestly, I forgot about it, especially since it was pushed back later than it normally is. I don't even know what the reason for pushing it back was. I mean, I guess because the season started later. I'm just curious if they made any type of statement as to why they felt like they had to do this. Because honestly, All-Star Weekend is for the people more than it is for the game.
Right.
And have you been to an All-Star Weekend?
I have.
You know what it entails. I have as well. And the fact that they still continue to do it without discouraging.
I will tell you this. The NBA did send out letters. Mark Stein reported the NBA sent out
cease and desist letters not to use their image.
Not to use their image to promote it. So they're trying to say, hey, don't party.
That's par for the course, though. Like, you can't really use the image of the NBA without licensing that image. So.
But there could be like official parties and stuff like that. And they're saying, we're not having any official parties. We're not condoning any parties, any get together. The brass there in Atlanta, the mayor, Keisha Lance Bottom, people was like, hey, don't come out to Atlanta, stuff like that. I don't know. I just thought it was a pretty irresponsible thing to do. And it took away some of the fun. You know what? Also, I got to be honest with you. I'm cool on all of this until we can do it again for real.
Like, I hear you.
I'm like, it, you know, obviously we have a movie that might get nominated for an Academy Award, and it would be cool and dope if everybody was able to get dressed up and go to the Academy Awards. But you know what, man? Until we can actually fucking have the Academy Awards, until we can actually, I'm cool on all of this. If anyone, it's just not even worth it for where we are right now. Like, we can't, it's like, I don't know. I don't want to spend too much time on it because it's a highly depressing thing. But the reality is we're trying to force a square peg in a round hole right now, and all we gotta do is wait and just be good for 2 or 3 more months. You know what I mean? Things won't be back to 100% normal, but they'll be back to normal enough to where we don't seem like aliens walking around on our own planet. You know? So to me, the whole thing was just indicative of this icky season that we're in. It's almost nothing that you can turn on right now that doesn't drip of like danger.
Well, the award shows aren't really happening, but this has to be the first biggest event that has happened since the shutdown, right?
Well, no, because they had the NBA Finals, which I would argue is a bigger deal, and the Super Bowl. So those, they had those.
The Super Bowl.
Right.
The NBA Finals, huh? Yeah.
They had those things. But I'm just saying, look, those things to me, once again, are gigantic chances they're taking. But at least they're part of the money-making apparatus of those places to a degree to where if you don't have them, you don't have the sport. You know, if you don't have the Super Bowl, you don't have football. Right. If you don't have the NBA Finals, you don't have it. But this is just having people come out to a place just for nothing. So, I don't know. Wasn't for me. Did you see the ingenuity shown by our sisters, though?
And, I mean, I guess I commend them for their creativity, but wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
I saw it.
Yeah, a group of IG models were partying out of a U-Haul van. They took they couldn't afford, I guess, a hotel room. So, the U-Haul van was their hotel for the weekend.
Where they go to the bathroom? Where they bathe? I didn't know it was a hotel. I just thought it was just like, maybe they couldn't get in the club, so they brought the club to the U-Haul. I didn't realize.
I think these were their living quarters. They took the U-Haul van. It's my understanding that they lived out of the U-Haul van for the weekend. Wow. Here's the thing, Rachel. It's time for Jesus to come back. I'm serious. So I just want to say something real quick to my pastor. You told me when I was a kid, when I was a little baby, that there was going to be a moment that we would just know. We would just know. You said your soul would be tired. All of our souls would be tired. And that's how we know It's time for him to rain on in. Rain on in. Oh, Lord. Rain on in. You know, I think we're to that point, man.
This was the breaking point for you.
This was the breaking point. This was the breaking point. If you ain't got enough money to stay at the Travelodge, stay on my land as at home. All right.
But having been to an All-Star weekend, is it that serious? Is the desperation that high to be there where you got to rent out a U-Haul and live in it just to say you were there? I mean, if you're renting out a U-Haul, then you don't have money to get into the parties. You don't have a section.
You might.
Like, I don't understand.
Girls. So they can get into the party. You know how that goes.
All-Star weekend? Just being a girl does not count.
That's not true.
It does.
That's
yes,
not
it does.
True.
Yes, it does.
You want me to call a party promoter right now?
They don't let every girl in.
They let the baddies. If you're Rachel, hold on for a second. Are you telling me that you're a general admission lady?
No, I got in.
Oh, I was about to say. I wouldn't have thought that. I got in. Okay.
I got in, and I walked past folks to get in. So that's what I'm just trying to say. Not everybody. All-Star's another level.
Most of the time, the ladies are going to get in these places for free, even on the All-Star. I once spent $100 to get into a club on All-Star weekend.
It's more than that now, bucks. I'm sure.
Mm-mm. Not now, though. Not now. They let your boy in. They said, slide right in the van. We love ya. Come on, big fella. We got your table right here, Mr. Layton. Mr. Layton. Mr. Layton, come on over here, boy. We got your table right here. You want a nice prime T-bone steak, Mr. Layton? Come on in, baby. We got you.
Where's this club? Where's this club with this accent? Stop.
Okay. Oh, we have some very, very unfunny and stressful news. This week, one of the most consequential trials that I can remember in a long time is about to start. This is the trial of Derek Chauvin. Derek Chauvin is facing manslaughter and second-degree murder charges in the death George Floyd. Okay. So the start of the jury selection was delayed because they were going back and forth about another charge. But we are getting ready to get into this. Okay. So here's the deal. I want everybody to hold their breath and understand what's going to happen right here. Over the next couple of weeks, we are going to see an energy shift that's almost going to be kind of like things were this past summer. It won't happen during the trial, but the closer we get to the end of the trial, there's going to be intense pressure for the jury to convict Derek Chauvin on both causes, on both charges. Okay. Now, that doesn't mean in any way that I don't want anything but justice to be served. I think if justice is served, it'll be pretty clear what the verdict will be in this. You know, I think we all saw that. But I am not worried, but anxious. I'm anxious about this. Because my soul has seen so many times guys walk from situations like this. And in this particular one, I am not even scared that he'll get off. My energy is more like, I wish a motherfucker would.
Yeah.
And I think there are a lot of people in the country that feel that way. And even as I say this right now, like, I feel my Lexapro kicking in. I'm being honest with you. I feel like, and anybody that's on an SSRI knows, like, I feel my body pushing my emotion down because I just can't imagine what things would be like if the trial went left. I can't.
I'm like you. I can't see them not convicting him. I think that's also the importance of getting this other charge, third degree murder, put in, because if they don't vote on one, they can do the lesser included charge. And so I think that they need to get this on the book. Not that anybody wants to see him be convicted of third degree murder, but people want to see him convicted because never has a white police officer been convicted for killing a black person in the state of Minnesota. That's important. And so people are watching this trial in the same way that they've watched other trials. For me, it takes me back to Trayvon, to be honest with you. I know it wasn't a police officer, but it just takes me back to then. We were all waiting. We were all watching. People are watching because this will set a precedent, right? What kind of message are you sending out when you see what happened to George Floyd in such a public way, such an arrogant way, where there's no denying that wrongdoing was not done in that moment, yet you still decide to side, possibly if it goes the other way, side with the police officer? What hope do we have that we will ever, you know, be able to get anything from police officers? We need this. We need a conviction to, I'm not saying that it'll completely restore the faith in the legal system or with police officers, but it's a step that these officers will be held accountable for their wrongdoings, and it will motivate police officers who are watching that they need to act right, that you don't have the liberty to just kill us in such a public way and get away with it. And that's the message that this trial will be sending, depending on how they decide to convict. The other thing is, or if they decide to convict, they're gonna have a really hard time with jury selection. This could take a while because they didn't remove the trial. It's still there. A lot of times they'll remove the trial to a different county. You saw the same thing happen with OJ. They wanted to remove the trial because they didn't think that there could be a fair trial because so many people know about this case. It's so public. Gonna have a hard time picking jurors who are not biased. I mean, and you're really depending on the jurors to make that, you're taking their word as true, right? So you can strike somebody, you have an unlimited amount of strikes for cause, right? For example, if I'm like, hey, I had a family member who died in that exact same way, they'd be like, she can't be on the jury. And you can strike as many times as you want to for that. People are lying if they're saying that they're not impacted one way or the other by what happened to George Floyd, because everybody knows about it. And we all have these preconceived notions and feelings wrapped around what we saw for not days, not weeks, but months. We're still continuing to say George Floyd's name. Everybody's coming in with some sort of bias. I don't know how this jury selection is going to go. I'm more worried about that and getting the right jury to make the right decision in this case. It's going to be tough. They definitely have their work cut out for them, but you know, well, that makes me anxious that it's in the hands of the jury.
You want to sit with something real quick? Let's real quick. Want to sit with, in a serious way, you want to sit with something real quick?
What?
Let's just sit with something. Us and our audience out there, as you listen to what we're talking about, Isaiah, Jackson, Trudy, sit with this. Something just happened to you and to me, and we're going to name it right here. Therapy talk. Look how scared we are. Look how afraid we are. And I don't say this in a way that this is a negative thing or a positive thing. I say this as just a remarkable moment that we're in. A trial is starting for a crime that was committed that we saw. What you and I just did as almost second nature, almost as a reflex, is we just regurgitated trauma from times past that we've been through this. We just stopped for a second, the complete momentum of who we were and what we were talking about, and just drug up all of the failings of the system that is supposed to be working for Americans. And just discussed them. We brought Trayvon's name back up. We talked about the fact that this has never happened before. We talked about what would happen when we are, if we are, should I say, if and when, should I say, we are inevitably disappointed by the criminal justice system, what that outcome is going to be, how we're going to feel. All of those feelings, we just lived them, and they haven't happened yet. They're in the future. We just, like, we just lived them. And I just want people that are listening, I want people to kind of, not just us to sit with that, I want you to sit with that too. Think about what it would be like to live your life that way.
Hmm. Yep. And I'm going to tell you why, Van. And this is where I could get emotional. I can't see the other side of it. If he's not convicted, I can't even see, I can't move past that, right? Like, mm-hmm. I can't, if he is not held accountable for what he did to George Floyd, I can't see beyond that. I can only see a conviction and my mind stops there. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine what it is going to be like to function the next day. What people, like, what this world, oh my gosh, what this world will be. Mm-hmm. Like, how you have faith in humanity and hope for a better future. Everything that we went through, I mean, we've been going through it beyond 2020, but specifically just over this last year because people woke up and saw the world in a different way. It almost is as if it meant nothing. I can't see beyond if he's not convicted. I just can't. My mind doesn't even function that way. He has to be convicted. I can't see it any other way. Mm. I can't.
All right. I want to stop talking about this.
You won't cry with me?
No. I'm going to have nightmares. Let's take a break real quick.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
This episode is brought to you by Hyundai. You could be doing anything this week, right? You've got work, errands, friends, and a whole lot of fun in between. That's why the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the capable SUV that's built for your life. With premium interiors, available wireless charging, and room for your whole cargo and crew. Okay, Hyundai. Visit HyundaiUSA.com to learn more about the all-new 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe.
All right. This was a funny headline. So, Papa John. Papa John, like, okay.
Talking about loss of faith in humanity.
Why do we laugh so much when stuff is like this?
You have to. You gotta laugh through the pain.
So Papa John is back.
is back.
You know what's crazy about Papa John, man? I used to love Papa John's pizza.
It's so gross. They put the toppings, the cheese on top of the toppings. That is gross to me.
They do what?
When they used to make pizza, I don't know if they still do because you know how I feel about cheese, but it used to be cheese, the toppings, and the cheese would be on top of it. That is so gross to me.
No, they don't.
Yes, they did.
No, they don't do that.
Maybe they don't anymore.
They did what now? They do what? They just say, describe it again?
So like if you have a pepperoni pizza, you couldn't really see the pepperoni because they were putting cheese on top of it. And it's just too much for me.
That's cap. That's
not in Texas, not in Dallas.
That is okay. 100%.
Maybe that's the way people ordered it.
Percent cap.
I'm not making this up. Why would I lie about that? Okay. Why would I lie?
Oh my God. Like that is not true.
Well,
you want me to call a Papa John's right now?
Well, talk to the, yeah.
Talk to, yeah.
I know.
call Papa John's. Hey, nigger. Hey, it's us. Exactly. Hey, it's us here at Papa John's, nigger.
Wait, tell them the story why you shout out that.
We got a brand new fried chicken pizza.
Let the thought warriors know what happened.
We don't have any pineapple to go on your pizza, but we have some delicious watermelon, nigger. All right, so this is...
so bad.
So look, this is the headline. Papa John's founder insists he isn't racist,
said it was a goal to get rid of this N-word in my vocabulary. Jesus Christ. God. If I tell you, man, it's time for Jesus. Rain on in.
Now this might be it.
So he went on own. How you say it? It's O-N? Own? The own?
Oh, I won't say yeah. Own. One American.
O-N. One A-N. Because it's not own. Because shout out Oprah. He talked about the fact that, you know, I don't know if you guys know, but back in the day, Papa John got into a little, he got, in, not a little, he got, they canceled Papa John.
Yeah, rightfully so.
Because he said the N-word, right? And so Papa John, who is such a cartoon character, right? He looks like the evil Baron of pizza. He has... he's always wearing a costume, like a Papa John shirt. Mm-hmm. His eyebrows are super thick, like super thick. He looks like a pizza villain, like a pizza demon. He said that he went through 20 months of intense training so that he could stop saying the N-word.
Why would you admit this publicly? Know your audience, right? You know your audience.
Oh,
only on
God.
Only on OAN could you say mm-hmm. something like this.
Right. Right. He he said yeah, he went through 20 months. He had to learn, wanted to get to the bottom of why that N-word was in his vocabulary and then why he would use it. I think I know why, but he just wanted to deal with it. So 20 months. No N-word. He's not racist. And it was a goal to get rid of the N-word in his vocabulary. And he says that he worked with someone and he got rid of the N-word. Rachel, what are your thoughts?
My first thought is, where's Shaq?
Oh,
for all
Jesus.
Those people
Ooh.
Who are being paid to represent Papa John's, because he stepped down from one position, I'm not sure, but he still owns the whole thing. I would not want my name affiliated with Papa or John. I mean, I need these people to speak out. You know, as a person who is affiliated with several brands, I would have to let this one go. What kind of, how deeply rooted was the N-word in your well-being, your vocabulary, your thoughts, for you to go through not 20 months, but intense training? What does that even look like? What were the follow-up questions? Where's Oprah when you need her? Follow-up questions as to what did that entail? Who did you sit down and talk to? Like, what was the process like? Can you take us through that? I have more questions.
Who is the N-word trainer? How do you get that
Chris,
job?
Ask Chris. Ask who else?
How do you
These
get
race
that
educators.
Word,
race educators. That's what they're calling them now.
You can be a race educator?
That's what Chris said. Chris Harrison said he's working with the race educator, and then he threw out Michael Eric Dyson. We should have him on this show to explain what that entails.
I'm gonna have I'm gonna call Dr. Dyson. I need to know how you get one of these race educator bags.
I think you could do it.
I definitely could do it.
Can you imagine?
You know what? It'll be my first lesson as an N-word race educator.
What?
This will be my first educated. This will be my first lesson. Let's say I'm educating Papa John on uses of the N-word. The first thing I would do is I would have Papa John, from his phone number, text me the N-word, right?
Okay, okay.
I would then screenshot it and tweet it out. I would then screenshot it and tweet it out and be like, yo, look what this motherfucker Papa John just sent to me, right? If you can't learn not to say the N-word after that, nothing can help you. Forget about being on a hot mic. I would have him say the most racist. I'm like, hey, man, say this to me. We're doing an exercise. We're just trying to get all of it out. We're just trying to get all of it out. I'd have him send the most racist sentence he could. And then I'd be like, yo, man, look how I was just abused by Papa John. And then I would tweet it out. After that, gotta be your last N-word.
You were gonna say it was a trick. It was a trick. Like you were gonna tell him to say it. And the trick was, if he said no, I no longer use that word.
No.
I thought that's what you were gonna say.
No,
and then
because
it was
would never happen.
No, it would not. That not when you need 20 months.
That will never happen.
20 months people become commercial pilots.
That means you said it all the time.
People become commercial pilots faster than it took for Papa John. People get basic training on the military, Navy SEAL training. You know how many things 20 months of training can get you?
You know what that tells me? He didn't want to stop saying it. That's what that is. Didn't want to. You wanted that word. You wanted to keep that word.
Like, I'll tell you something. If you take 20 months, it's like, maybe he did. I don't know. I don't know Papa John's heart. I will tell you this, though. You can learn a lot about people sometimes from their related articles. These are the related articles under this Papa John's article right here. So these are related articles. Papa John's founder trashed for TikTok tour of mansion. Papa John clarifies eating 40 pizzas in 30 days comment. Wife of Papa John's founder files for divorce. Those are the three. All right.
Yeah, y'all still eat his pizza. Like,
still eat the pizza. All right, it's time for the Van Lathan question of the week. All right. Are you ready?
No, because last time I was trashed. I feel like whatever I say is not going to be acceptable, but go ahead.
All right, this one's a different one. This one is a personal preference, so it can't be something that's unacceptable.
So was the last one.
No, that wasn't a personal preference. That wasn't. That was you putting on for the whole world. If you can't see where you were wrong, how you ever going to know when you're right?
Man, okay? Somebody told me Sexual Healing, and I said, that's a really good song.
It's a great answer.
That was a great answer. Okay, go ahead.
All right. This is something that I've long thought about and talked about. You might not have an answer for this.
Okay.
Name one celebrity that you simply cannot picture having sex. No matter how hard you try. I know what mine is.
Let me hear yours.
Gilbert Gottfried. I just can't picture it. I can't picture Gilbert Gottfried. Gilbert Gottfried. Do you know who that is?
No, I'm Googling. I want
to
see.
I can't picture.
Real time, I'm about to see this.
I can't picture Gilbert Gottfried. I can't. Is it the voice?
Is it because of his voice?
It's kind of the voice. It's like, ah, bring that ass over here. Ah. You know what I mean? It's like, I can't picture Gilbert Gottfried. And it's weird because I don't know how this just jumped in my mind. This happened at TMZ years ago. And Gilbert Gottfried walks in. He's on TMZ Live. He's up there. He's doing this whole, it's me, Gilbert Gottfried, the whole deal. And I'm thinking to myself, he can't be getting no ass with that. Like who's fucking on Gilbert?
Maybe he role plays. I
gotta be honest with you. The reality is that Gilbert Gottfried has probably had so much more sex than me. It's probably not even close. Gilbert Gottfried probably has had so much, so much more sex than me. You know what I mean? But I just can't picture it. I can't picture it.
This is the picture that popped up when I looked him up. It's like,
look at that. Look, I'm not. It has nothing to do with his looks, by the way.
He seems like
a cartoon character. And you can't picture cartoon characters like having sex.
You might as well have said Pee-wee Herman.
I can't see Pee-wee. I disagree.
Oh, you can see Pee-wee?
I can definitely see Pee-wee. Not just because of what happened in the theater, but also because both in Pee-wee's Big Adventure and Big Top Pee-wee, the girl from Big Top Pee-wee, the woman, is beautiful.
Okay.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And he always showed that he was getting it with the ladies in these movies. Pee-wee was doing this thing. Think about it. Everybody out there, think about it. The one celebrity, you just can't picture it going down. You just can't picture it happening.
Maybe like James Corden.
Disrespectful.
Oh, so my answer's got to be disrespectful.
Yeah, it's disrespectful. James Corden is a young, perfectly married man.
James Corden.
It's not that. It's just more of like, it's a mannerism thing that I'm thinking. Like, he's so playful. He's everybody's best friend. I can't see him like turning it to be like sexual. Like, he's everybody's right. best friend is what right. I'm saying.
Right.
I'm
right.
thinking so, of people who friend zone themselves.
So you think James Corden, you can't think of James Corden. You just can't see him having sex.
He's so friendly. I can't see it. I'm not saying he can't. It's just I'm
he definitely
one.
Has.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Okay. That's it. By the way, before we get off of the podcast, I think it is appropriate that I tell you that Samuel L. Jackson in no way is related to the royal family. Samuel L. Jackson is in no way related to the royal family.
Why would you do that to me?
I don't know. It's really more about you than it is me at this point.
Wait. Here's the problem. I kept telling you I had never heard this before. Right. I told you, it's not like imagine if I had lied and been like, yeah, I read that story before. I was honest. Never heard it. Rachel, I can't believe you haven't heard this. Never have I heard this. And I'm like, okay, maybe he did one of those, Henry Louis Gates Jr. traveled on the PBS show and found out that he had some type of link. Somebody, some slave owner was linked to the royal family. Somebody came over here. That's what I thought it was. What's the show? Finding Your Roots. What's it called?
I forgot. When he would sit down with
that's
people.
That's how I reasoned in my head. I'm like, okay, maybe he was linked in this way. That's why. But I wasn't going to argue with you because to my knowledge, I had never heard this. So I guess I won't be calling Zoe.
No, you're not going to call Zoe.
I should have let you do it.
I should have let you do it. Oh, but now if I told you, okay. Before
no,
we go,
I don't know. I believe nothing. This is what you're turning me into.
If I told you that in the late 60s, Samuel L. Jackson stormed the Morehouse University administration office.
I know that's true.
And took Martin Luther King Jr. But it took his dad hostage.
Didn't we talk about this?
Jesus. Took MLK Jr.'s dad hostage. Wow.
I know this to be true.
Royal family? No. All right.
Can't stand you.
Listen, guys. I hope that you guys... There's so many people that stopped the podcast to like Google that. It's so many people. You guys got to be quick on the uptake. When we're talking about all these different things, you got to be quick on the uptake. Listen, you guys take breaks. Make sure you're being good with yourself this week. Self-care is at a premium. We're not going to talk about Congress passing the stimulus checks because it shouldn't be breaking news whenever Congress does exactly what they're supposed to do for the American people. And stop holding it to such a low standard. Fucking fix it. So the reality is that people out there are starving, and give them the relief that they need. All right, take thinking caps off. Do not stop learning. I am Van Lathan.
I'm Rachel Lindsay.
We out.
Bye.